This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Kyra Kyles, who is the CEO of YR Media, an Oakland-based national nonprofit that provides creative resources and career opportunities to predominantly Black, Indigenous, people of color, youth in the areas of media, music, and technology. My favorite. Kyra is a 20-year veteran of the media industry and passionate advocate for youth voice. Kyra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am beyond thrilled because I want to say you're the first person that I'm interviewing who has so much experience in the media industry and technology. So I can't wait to talk all things media and technology. But before we dive in, I want to start off by what inspired you to start this amazing organization?
Well, you know, I actually didn't start it, but I did come in about 2 years ago. It was started quite a while ago, about almost 30 years. We're coming up on our 30th year anniversary. So I came in to succeed the founder. And the reason that she started it was because she saw that there was just a lack of positive or even just accurate portrayals of young people of color in the media. And then on top of that, part of the problem was there weren't a lot of people of color in the media, period. So in order to solve both issues, YR Media, which started out as youth radio, started, and it was a balance between training young people, but also giving them a platform so that they could speak out against, you know, what they saw as being unjust, and also to produce music. And it's evolved to producing interactive. So very, very exciting. And I am so happy to be at the organization and also, you know, putting my own spin on things now that I've been around for about 2 years.
So tell me a little bit about yourself before you joined YR Media.
Was it so many experiences. So, you know, some of my career highlights that I look back on is I worked for the Tribune Company for what was a millennial platform called the Tribune Red Eye. That was a lot of fun covering pop culture. And I did a lot of work on like the intersection between gender inequities, racial inequities, and pop culture, like movies, TVs, film, everything that you see there. I also was the editor-in-chief and senior vice president of digital editorial at Ebony, the iconic magazine for and about Black life in America. So had a lot of for-profit media experience, and especially representing marginalized voices. I've always felt personally responsible to do that. Even though I love being a journalist, I love storytelling, and I could tell stories about anything, I also want to make sure that we're filling some of these voids that I've seen. And it's unfortunate that I'm still seeing, you know, despite, you know, starting my career 20 years ago, we're still having very similar conversations.
What inspired you to join a nonprofit? And, you know, you mentioned you worked for a for-profit, and I can imagine it, there's a huge difference in terms of the mission and the vision, but in some cases it may not be. What would you say was the driving force behind it?
Well, I had a little bit of a bridge between the for-profit and the nonprofit world in that I worked as a program officer, and my job was essentially to find and talk to storytellers, mostly of color, in the city of Chicago, where I'm from and was raised, and really make sure that the funding that was going to all of these other organizations that were mostly led by, let's be honest, white men, make sure that that money found itself in the way into the pockets of people who are trying to create for communities of color, and more importantly, within communities of color. You don't want people coming, you know, parachuting in and telling you what's important to the people that read or experience your publications. Prior to that, you know, I took that journalism experience and parlayed it into this because Ebony really was very similar in its mission to what YR Media is in its mission. Yes, their models were different, but my job every day was to tell the story of the Black experience. And it's a very, very diverse experience. I don't speak for all of Black America. No one on our staff did, but what we hoped to do was we had enough people that were on the staff that came from those experiences that could help tell the story. And that's what we're doing at YR Media. We don't want storytelling that's just about a certain group of people. We want it to be not only for them, but to be about them, like by them. So I think that the key was my mission was really strong, both at the Tribune and Ebony, in terms of the kinds of stories I wanted to tell. And those were kind of untold stories or stories that were told without nuance. So that adjustment would be easier. I would say the difference in the two is that with the nonprofit, it's not all about advertisers. It's not all about sponsors. It's about telling, you know, the community, what are we doing and why are we doing it and why you should support us? And in that, it really feels a lot more democratic because you're going out there and appealing to the community and saying, this is something that's going on. This is where we need your help and your support. Also working with some amazing foundations to get this work done. So it really is different just in terms of, you know, who you're telling your story to, but it's still all about empowering storytellers of color, which I've been doing throughout my career.
Oh, that's amazing. And I love the fact that you brought up the example of how for the for-profit, you focus on advertising or, you know, it's different. You're selling, where for nonprofit, you're really sharing the story. You're trying to get the community to support you and help you execute this amazing mission. Now, tell me a little bit about how YR Media works for youth specifically. What is the process like? Do they join? You know, I'll let you sort of do the intro.
Sure. So young people interact with YR Media in two ways. One way is through our media education training program, which is 6 months long. And that is mostly being done currently out of our Oakland headquarters. So young people come to our state-of-the-art facilities. This was before COVID, but to our state-of-the-art facilities where they get 6 months of intensive training that's split up into two groups, core and bridge. They learn about music production, media production, audio production, and design and interactive. And then once they've gone through this training, they then are eligible for youth employment. So we essentially employ young people in our departments, from the interactive department, which sits under our creative, to our newsroom, which is where you're seeing a lot of our great journalism content, from investigations to what's going on in pop culture. We have our own interactive department that's youth co-led, which is really unusual and unique for our field, and where they're developing really cool coding, using STEAM in order to tell stories. And our music team, which is doing amazing work producing compositions and are now working really hard on scoring podcasts, providing music for award shows. So really showing young people, here are the skills, and then here's how you apply them, and encouraging them to get employment once they leave or start their own business. Or in some cases, we've hired them. About 20% of our employees have gone through the YR Media program. And I think that's really, really important.
That's awesome. Now, in terms of helping them with employment, are you partnered with other organizations that eventually hire these youth to work for them?
Yeah, we have amazing partners that we've worked with in the past, where some of our young people have ended up, including the New York Times. You know, we have a relationship through one of our absolutely fantastic board members with Pop Sugar, where we're in conversation with them about internships and, you know, what are some opportunities that we can have for, as I call them, our YR stars. And one thing that's important for me to add is that even though young people may not necessarily be in Oakland to go through that training, which we are going to be expanding nationally in the next, we also engage young content creators through a network, which is somewhat akin to Associated Press, where we have young people across the nation that freelance for us and contribute for us, and we pay them for their work. And they are also, a lot of the content that you see on YR.media comes from them. And it's anything from video to narrative to audio, you know, podcasts. So we have multiple ways of interacting, but we do rely on our networks. And a lot of our young people end up at fantastic news places and fantastic music companies, and they start their own, which I think is also extremely important to note, because we don't want people to feel like the only way that you can succeed in this industry is to go to a corporation. You can start your own business. So we really try to encourage that entrepreneurial spirit as well.
That's amazing. I love everything about anything and everything of entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial is exciting to me. So I'm happy to hear that you guys encourage that as well. Now, if someone that wanted to, you know, let's say my daughter, she's 16 years old and she loves music, she loves singing, and she is at an age now where she realized that she's not going to be a singer. Okay. She needs a backup plan. And So she started exploring and she came back one day and she's like, Mama, I don't like the fact that my school doesn't have too much information about music related careers. Like, I have no idea what I could do. I love music. I want to be in the industry, but what can I possibly do? And I'm not really familiar with the music industry either. And so my initial thing was like, just Google it, right? But then, you know, so for someone like her, would she be a good fit to come and join and learn or do you have certain specifications for the youth to qualify in order to join your program?
Absolutely. So we do have different age groups. We are working actually this year to bring back a very popular program where we have youth that were a little bit older than the young people that typically come into our media education program, where it's mostly the 14 to 18 year old. So yes, and she could theoretically, you sign up once we have some of that additional programming that will be taking place at a different time of day, and then plug into our music program. And I love that you said she's interested in different aspects of the music industry, because we experience the same thing. We have young people who say, hey, I would love to be a producer. I want to be a rapper. I want to be a singer. And we also want to talk to them about the business aspect. And we have really great team members who have worked at record labels, and they give direction like, hey, maybe your beats won't end up necessarily at the next, edition of, I'm just making up, the Source Awards, but yeah. How about, why don't you think about composing music for movies? Or why don't you think about, scoring podcasts? Podcasts are a growing industry. We also just introduced our own licensing program. So young people of a certain age can put their music into a database, and then that music will be promoted so that they can get out there, get the music support. And then we have like a ratio revenue split where they would get most of the revenue, and then the rest will go back into our programming so that we can continue to invest in equipment and invest in instructors and staff so we can keep that music program going. So we definitely want to provide other avenues. Like, can you be an engineer, working at a broadcast, a terrestrial or a digital place? So you're absolutely right. It is difficult, even though Google sounds so powerful, you can sometimes get so many results that you don't even know what to do with them. So that is part of what Wire Media does, is really consolidates and makes plain what are the opportunities that you can pursue if you have this media arts background.
And I think, you mentioned it, that having people who have had the experience in the industry, I think that's key, having a mentor that can sort of guide you and throughout the career too. As soon as you at least minimize or narrow it down to a few things, then you can speak to these people that have worked in the industry and can advise you. I think that's super important, that clearly Google cannot replace. And sadly, the schools don't have all those options. And as they're trying to figure out what they're going to do for the rest of their lives, literally her high school counselor asked, what she's going to major in and what are her interests. And she's like, I have so many interests, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, God, this isn't easy, but I wish there was some kind of a program that she could just, and you just said it. So I'm kind of happy that my wish is coming true.
Yes.
She can look into it and see all the different related careers to music that she can possibly explore.
Yeah, we actually do approach educators. Like, we have on our website, wiremedia.org, a note where we say to educators, if you have students that are interested in these fields, send them our way, because you're right. I mean, we need all the support that we can get, especially young people of color who may not get to see and meet people that are in the fields and industries that they're in, and they're not seeing enough representation. When you look at pop culture, things are getting better, but they're still not to the point where it's even near equitable.
Yeah.
So, I always think of that, if you can't, you need to see it to be it, right? And so I think that's what's really important, is that we do partner with educators through something we call Teach YR, which is another initiative under our umbrella.
Now, how do you gather educators and instructors? Is that a separate outreach that you do?
Yes, we do have separate outreach to instructors, because we simultaneously, as well as teaching young people how to create content or helping them to create content, they've already got the talent and just helping to shape it. Our young people also help shape curriculum. They come up with curriculum in tandem with educators so that they can, that'll be more effective. The best way to teach young people something is to present them with curriculum that they had something to do with, right? And so TeachYR is the arm of our organization that focuses on that. So we work with educators all across the country, partnering with those that are really aligned with us in our thinking. And some of the foundations that are supporting us in that work are like the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, for example, and the Gates Foundation has also worked with us on that, so that we are actually co-creating curriculum with educators that really resonates with young people, especially young people from underrepresented communities.
Wow. So just the thought of all the different pieces that you have to oversee to bring the whole organization together, it's just like overwhelming. I would love to get your thoughts on how you keep it all organized and how do you even prioritize your, like, how is your day-to-day as a CEO prioritizing all this? Because my assumption is you have to think about fundraising. You have to make sure money's coming in so that you could support all these things. And then you have to, you know, reach out to the instructors and make sure you've got all the curriculum in place. And then you need the youth. It's just, it's a lot. I would love to know what you do.
Well, one of my tips is some really nice coffee, you know, first thing in the morning. But I would say the other thing that makes me extremely lucky is I have an absolutely, I cannot say enough about them, a wonderful team of people that I work with that are have super expertise in these different areas. You know, I cannot be the expert on everything. What I like to focus on is team building and making sure that team members have the right resources and autonomy so that they can make decisions. As long as we all know what are our organizational goals, what are we looking to accomplish, they are able to get out there and use their expertise. Like the TeachYR is led by an academic and a journalist, and she's working with a team that also come from the academic world, and they know exactly what to say to teachers and how to communicate with them and how to really form community with them. Our music team, you know, I like music. I love music, but I can't make any music. So we have leaders of our music team that come from record labels, that platinum producers, and they're really looking at that. Our programming team, you know, they really know how to work with young people, help make sure they have the resources they need, cater the learning experience to them, and also provide them with wellness supports. Like we provide mental health counseling, case management, healthy food. These are all things that are going on. And obviously, you know, I'm here to help and I'm here to be like the chief cheerleader is the way I like to think about it. But I am lucky in that I, you know, have people that know exactly what they're doing. And my job is to let them do it and to make sure that, to your point, that we have the resources for them to be able to work effectively, because we're all in this together for one purpose, is that we want to uplift youth voice. And especially as I keep mentioning, because they're not mentioned enough, is young people of color and from communities, you know, such as the LGBT plus community, really getting out there because they're just not in that public sphere the way that they should be.
Well, I'll tell you, it's so inspiring to see what you're doing, because I came to the States when I was 12, and I feel like when it comes to certain industries, because my parents didn't grow up here. I was 12 years old when I came to the States. And a lot of the things, we don't have connections, we don't have friends in certain industries. So for me, navigating through the advertising industry and trying to figure out what to do, what not to do was challenging. By the time I found a mentor, I was in my late 30s. Wow. And so many times I look back and I wish I had reached out for mentors or but in my community, in the Armenian community, it just doesn't exist. Like not even nonprofits don't exist to help our youth and help them understand and navigate. And so in a sense, what you're doing is inspiring other ethnic communities to do the same, which we're very behind, but eventually I think hopefully we'll be able to do that as well. But, you know, it's good to know that anybody can join your organization and pretty much get all the benefits and the perks. Wow, inspiring. Now, in terms of fundraising, tell me a little bit about that. How is that? Do you guys have corporate sponsors? Like, how do you do that?
We get a great deal of foundation support, which is wonderful. There are many excellent organizations that we partner with. The MacArthur Foundation, as I mentioned, CZI, as I mentioned, Gates, Crankstart. There are too many to name. I don't want to leave anybody out. So definitely people can see on yrmedia.org, like who are our biggest supporters, National Science Foundation, for example. And we get a lot of support from these foundations who are really wanting to make a shift and see change, especially when it comes to youth of color's perspective being put out there in a really strong way. And we really do run like an actual media production company. Like, we just happen to be nonprofit status, but we really work like any media organization would. We make sure that the creative looks a certain way, that we're working on our audience engagement.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.